In 1974, when my daughter would have been 8 years old and my son a year old, a children's book was published by the Ms. Foundation called Free to Be You and Me. Many of you may remember it. It was the brainchild of actress Marlo Thomas and had some great children's stories in it by a variety of authors, like the one about a princess who refuses to get married before exploring the world, or a girl who insists that ladies must always go first and so is the first to get eaten by the lions. There were songs included like It's All Right to Cry, which gives boys permission to cry, William's Doll, which affirms that it's good for boys to play with dolls, and, of course, the title song, Free to Be You and Me. I often read the stories to my children when the book came out in hopes that they might escape some of the messages that I didn't escape coming from the wider culture about what and who they were supposed to be based on their biological gender. Shortly after the book was published, you may remember a group of very well-known entertainers collaborated with Thomas to turn the book into a television special, which was even more engaging than the book. It was quite delightful to watch big football player Rosie Grier singing It's All Right to Cry. And oh my God, hearing Cheryl Canning's voice in the animated version of Ladies First Story was hysterical. I was reminded of that show a few years ago in 2020, right at the beginning of the COVID-19 virus, when we were told to isolate ourselves at home to protect ourselves and others from catching it. Without any treatment yet available, it could be and was deadly. Perhaps all of us may know somebody who died, I certainly do, who died from that initial COVID-19. So, like a lot of good folks, I started watching TV all day long. I know some of you use the time to clean out your garages and get everything in order, or you learned how to bake bread and had it coming out of your ears, or you started a new project, that new project that you'd been meaning to get around to for many years. I didn't do anything worthwhile. I just watched a lot of old TV programs like West Wing, which saved me from utter despair, and MASH, even episodes of Gunsmoke, which really tells you how old I am. One of the shows I watched during that isolated time was a new miniseries called Mrs. America, a dramatization of the struggle to pass the Equal Rights Amendment back in the early 1960s and 70s. You can still get that on, you know, stream it. And if you didn't see it back when it in 2020, I urge you to watch it. It's really quite good and has some good, great actors in it. Mrs. America, the title, referred to Phyllis Schlafly. Remember her? She probably did more to defeat the passage of the amendment than anyone else. So there I was, sitting on my couch in April 2020 with my little dog Lucy next to me, watching the latest episode of Mrs. America. It ends with Gloria Steinem and her boyfriend joining another couple to watch the TV special, Free to Be You and Me. Suddenly, I'm transported right back there with them in 1974, filled with anticipation and waiting eagerly for the show to begin. I watch with them as it opens with the title song. There's a land that I see where the children run free, and I say a thank far to this land from where we are. And with no warning, sitting in my living room in 2020, I suddenly burst into tears. Not just a few quiet tears, but loud, uncontrollable sobs. My heart felt as if it were breaking. What has happened to our country? I remember thinking. What happened to those dreams we had back in 1974 when we were so young and thought we could change the world. Recently, I've rewatched that episode of Mrs. America and had the very same reaction. I wept because things have only gotten worse since I first watched it 4 years ago. Since 2016, really, we have been witnessing what I believe to be a slow but steady dismantling of our democracy, what Bill Maher once referred to as a slow coup. A shredding of our American ideals of liberty and justice for all. Many of us thought this dismantling would be reversed when a new administration began in 2021, and some of it was, but we were sadly dissuaded from that assumption as a now radically conservative Supreme Court began chipping away and even reversing laws that had been protecting us, especially women and people of color, also children, the unhoused, and our beloved earth. We and everyone has been made more vulnerable. The Christian nationalism movement, the attempt to make our nation a Christian nation, has gained an enormous amount of power since 2016, and the danger it poses for our democracy, especially freedoms guaranteed under our Constitution, is alarming. So it probably goes without saying that for many of us, certainly for me, it has been difficult to remain hopeful. It has even been difficult for me to say any longer that I love my country, not in its current state anyway. And there is no way you could have seen me at a 4th of July parade this year. Because every week brings news of something that only heightens my disappointment and fear. Some weeks, it's every day. While I have told my siblings, and they agree with me, that I am glad our activist mother and journalist father are not alive to witness what's happening to their beloved country, I have also wished that I could talk to them about it. I've wanted to ask them how they kept their hope and faith during the years of McCarthyism, when people they knew were losing jobs after being investigated by the House Un-American Activities Committee. During the investigations by Senator McCarthy's committee, it didn't matter whether one was a communist. It only mattered if you sounded like a communist or knew people who were communist. Heck, my parents could have been called up for investigation. It must have been such a terrifying, even bewildering time. I was given a glimpse of just how terrifying those times were many years ago in the summer of 1982. I was still attending seminary and was doing a four-month student internship at First Unitarian Universalist Church in Los Angeles. I had convinced the membership committee to make name tags for everyone in the congregation because they didn't have any. How are you going to grow if visitors can't see your names? I had asked the committee. It's just unfriendly and unwelcoming. So they made lovely name tags, and someone created a beautiful board to hang the name tags on. I excitedly announced this in the newsletter and from the pulpit and encouraged the members every Sunday to wear their name tags. I'm glad to see a lot of you are. But after several weeks, I noticed that most of the older members still weren't wearing their name tags, despite all my enthusiastic nagging. Finally, one Sunday after the service, an elderly member came up to me. "I'm sorry we're disappointing you by not wearing name tags," she said. "But you need to understand, many of us here were dragged before the House Un-American Activities Committee in the 50s Some of us lost our jobs, our friends, even our families. Some lost their lives. We can't advertise our names to strangers. I was speechless. Even though I'd known about the McCarthy hearings, I'd never heard about their impact from someone who'd actually experienced them from the inside, who was probably still suffering PTSD because of that experience. I never pushed people in that church to wear name tags again. The days of McCarthyism in this country were horribly frightening times, but to most of the country, I suspect they weren't as frightening as what we're witnessing today. After all, Joe McCarthy was only a senator. He wasn't president of the United States with all the power that that holds. He didn't have the highest court in the land and many lower courts seemingly in his back pocket. He certainly didn't have his entire political party bowing down to him, no matter what terrible things he did and said. And he didn't have the entire evangelical Christian movement worshiping him, no matter how unchristian he might be. I can't tell you who to vote for this November. It wouldn't be ethical of me, and it would put your nonprofit status at risk, and I don't want to do that, though the evangelical churches seem to have no problem from it. I will only remind you that our Unitarian, the very foundations of our Unitarian Universalist faith, has always been justice for those who are marginalized, who live on the edges. Just last month at our General Assembly, delegates voted to claim love as the center of our faith, with our values of justice, equity, and compassion, and all the principles read this morning emanating from that center. But what has always been so challenging to me, and maybe for some of you as well, is that we are not just to say those words, but we are to live them, to do what we can to make them real in the world. We have always been a faith of doers, not just sayers. But I don't know about you, but I am finding it harder and harder anymore to believe that anything I do will make a difference in these times we are living, and it makes my heart ache. Still, the Reverend Rebecca Parker tells us that in times such as these, there must be those who bear witness and who stand and lead in freedom with grace and power. There must be, she says, religious witness. And this congregation, no matter how small or large you might be, embodies such religious witness over and over, in small ways and in large. You are a designated welcoming congregation, meaning that here in conservative Santa Clarita, you are a safe place for LGBTQ+ folks. You hold anti-racism workshops and have a monthly discussion group called Bend the Arc, in which you discuss current issues of justice. And not only that, you suggest actions to take. You are doers, not just talkers. You've had postcard writing gatherings to get out the vote. You write letters to legislators advocating for issues to do with social and environmental justice, because let's face it, our Mother Earth has also been marginalized. You practice your love through religious witness. You do this because you know, as is written on the website page of your Social and Environmental Justice Committee, that the arc of the moral universe may bend toward justice, but it doesn't bend on its own. And that's what keeps my faith alive. That's what reminds me that despair and cynicism are never the answer, The way to remain hopeful is to be a part of the solution through our actions for justice. I may not be able to go on long marches that I did in my younger years, but I can still keep myself informed. I can still write letters, make phone calls, donate money no matter how small. I can still speak up and speak out. And of course, I will always vote. Everything you and I do helps bend that arc toward justice, even if we don't see it immediately, even if we won't see it in our lifetimes, and we may not. I must believe that what you and I do will make a difference for our children, our grandchildren, and our great-grandchildren. After watching that episode of Mrs. America 4 years ago, I posted on Facebook about my meltdown upon hearing the song Free to Be You and Me and the despair I was feeling. Almost immediately, I began receiving responses. "You are not alone, my friend," said one. "Yes, I feel the same way," said another. But the best response came from my daughter. I watched that episode of Mrs. America also, and I started singing along. I didn't even know that I still knew the words. Hope that puts a smile on your face. Which it did, and it prompted me to order the book, since I'd given it away many years earlier. I ordered 2 copies so that I could give one to my daughter, and I know it brought a smile to her face. We are living in a fearful and really just a bewildering time, and it can be easy to slip into despair and even apathy. It can be tempting to let go of our faith that America can still be a place where the children, all children, run free, and that whatever small actions we take makes a difference for them. But we cannot lose that faith. We must remember that we are not alone, especially in a religious community such as this one. So I want to leave you with a poem called Prayer for the Morning, written by UU Minister Audette Fulbright Folsom. Did you rise this morning, broken and hung over with weariness and pain and rage, tattered from waving too long in a brutal wind? Get up, child. Pull your bones upright. Gather your skin and muscle into a patch of sun. Draw breath deep into your lungs. You will need it, for another day calls to you. I know you ache. I know you wish the work were done, and you, with everyone you have ever loved, were on a distant shore safe and unafraid. But remember this, tired as you are not alone. Here also, there are others weeping and rising and gathering their courage. You belong to them and they to you. And together, we will break through and bend the arc of justice all the way down into our lives. May this always be so. Amen.